Good morning. This is Pastor Larry again. I hope I find you rejoicing in the Lord and fighting the good fight of faith, because it is a fight that we're in. We're in a fight with our own natures, and hopefully that's coming along well with you, that you're being victorious. We're also in fight, it seems like, with the world at times. The world system allures us to get off the path that God has established for us, and that we're using the Word of God for a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. We pray that God is, through Jesus Christ, is guiding you through this maze, but most of all, we're fighting the good fight against our archenemy, who is Satan and his hordes, because this is basically a spiritual warfare. But let's not blame Satan for everything, because we have an tendency, a proclivity on our own, and Satan plays upon that. Remember, he has a method for each one of us in order to defeat us, because he knows us better than we know ourselves. But we pray, and I pray, that God is reinforcing your mind with his truth, that you're being transformed day by day. And that has to do with what we're going to talk about today, and that I use all the time, because it's not really my opinions in this spiritual warfare, but it's what does God say. And we believe, I believe, that the Bible is God's revelation to us in order to fortify us, in order to strengthen us, in order to give us that victory that Jesus Christ is so promised. But friends, understand that we also have a part in this, and that the fact that we must be willing to submit to him, we must turn our hearts and our lives over to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must draw near to him and quit playing games, as so many of us do. God is always with us, but he wants you to be near to him. Speaking to believers in Christ, I want to read that verse that I started with in the last broadcast, where it says in Matthew 7:24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine," and I talked about those words of Christ that he talks about in this verse, are his words of that sermon that he had preached in chapters 5, 6, and the beginning of 7. So he's making a climax here to his sermon. But also we can take that way into the realm of everything he has said before, in what he has said, even in the Gospels, and even in the letters of the New Testament, and even in the Old Testament. So we can expand that all the way out. So he says, "Therefore, everyone," and everyone's included. Understand that. "Everyone who hears these words of mine." You know, a lot of times why the world doesn't want to hear is because maybe it makes them feel guilty. Maybe that's why they don't want to hear. But whatever the reason. So let's move on. "If therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man." You want to be a wise man? I want to be a wise man. "Who built his house on the rock." And I want to emphasize that little word, upon the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had a foundation on the rock. Now, the scriptures teach that we are building a house, or that God is participating, and this is where we come in. We must participate with God in building our house, because without him, without being on this rock, this foundation that is built upon the rock, We can't build a house properly. That's the blueprint. The words of Christ are our blueprint. And those words are, as I said earlier, is the sermon that he has preached on the Mount, and all the other stuff that goes with it. The epistles, the letters, the Old Testament. It's the words of Christ. In the beginning was the Word, John says. And that Word was Jesus Christ. So he was even in the beginning speaking. So those are words of Christ. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. Now remember, now he's talking about the foolish builders. He's like a foolish man. So he's just hearing, then he goes his own way. And he's going to build a house. He's a religious person. He's going to build a house. It may look like your house if you're a Christian, but yet it has something that is different. And what is that? So a foolish man builds his house in the sand. I'm saying this, there's no foundation to it. And everybody knows, builders know this, that you have to have a foundation in order for your house to stand. It says, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So we have two contrasts. We have a wise man, and we have a foolish man. We have two houses. One is built upon a solid foundation, and it's built upon a rock. And the foolish man has a house, looks good from the surface, but underneath there is no foundation. So we have true disciples, and we have false disciples. You have those who say they are believers, but you have those who know they are believers. I want to zero in on this word rock, because it's important. What's this rock? And there's some that commentaries that I read where it's not really talked about that much. So there's another part of this building, which I didn't talk about yesterday, and that building is the rock. Let's say something, first of all, about this rock that Matthew talks about. The rock is there. So the rock is already there. No one put it there. It has always been there. Remember, the foundation was built upon that rock. So I want to say right now that Jesus Christ is that rock. Well, you say, Larry, how do you know that? Well, like I said, it's not my opinion that counts. It's the scriptures that count. 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, they all ate, and this is going back to the Old Testament, speaking of Israel, they all ate of the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. So that's what Paul is writing to the Corinthian believers. And remember, now we're talking about individuals here. Everyone, it says. So it includes you and I. Everyone. Psalm 62 says, in verse 6, says this, quote, he alone is my rock and my salvation. My fortress will not be shaken. Speaking of God himself. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Speaking of Jesus Christ. It is the same rock, believers, that we find in Daniel's vision in chapter 3, remember, concerning Nebuchadnezzar's great statue It had a head of gold, chest of silver, its belly and its sides of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and clay, which represents the nations concerned with Israel, starting at the time of Israel's captivity, remember in Babylon, until our Lord's return to the earth. So the scriptures say in verse 34 of Daniel 2, it says, concerning that statue of the nations, it says, and this is a very comforting thought, brothers and sisters, quote, a rock was cut out, but not of human hands. It means it's divine. It struck the statue at its feet of bronze and clay and smashed them. And the rock became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. It will be the millennial reign of Christ. And who is this rock? This rock is Jesus Christ himself, the divine one. He will smash the powers of authority and their kingdoms. God will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. That's verses 44 and 45 of Daniel 2. That's comforting to know, considering this dark world that we live in. There is so much commotion today. And as I teach this lesson, I'm in the time of confusion. Is after the presidential election, Donald Trump is in power, and all the visceral and all the hatred is coming out, and we see things start to move. All this is going on. I'm not saying that Donald Trump does everything right, because he's not doing everything right. But there's so much confusion, there's so much going on. But I am certain, according to what I just read, that God will set up his kingdom. Well, the head of that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will rule and reign. And the Bible says he'll rule and reign with a rod of iron, which you know what that means? He will be the authority, and he will mete out justice and righteousness upon the earth. And oh, how we need that today. Isn't that true? Think of the situation today, when Jesus Christ will reign and there'll be peace and prosperity, a place where men will learn war no more. That will be when God sets up his kingdom that will never be destroyed. Now, this rock is the same rock that Moses struck in Numbers 20 in verses 10 through 13. And it says, and out came water for the complaining Israelites. Now, Moses was to speak to it, but instead, remember that he disobeyed God and he twice smote the rock. And the Bible says in Numbers 20 and verse 11, quote, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their animals also. This is a living water that's a metaphor for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he is smitten on the cross and he gave his life's blood for us, and from that came living water that we may live a life for God. It's a metaphorical statement. The same rock that God hid Moses in the cleft, so he could see God as he passed by. And if you read Exodus 33, verse 22, this is a wonderful picture of our Savior and how he hides us from God's consuming presence. I want to read this passage, and I have to turn to Exodus chapter 33. And if you have your Bible with you, I hope you do. I hope you have it with you so you can follow along with me to Exodus 33. Remembering, it's not my opinions. I'm trying to explain what that rock is. In Matthew chapter 7, the wise and the foolish builders. Exodus 33, we're going to read a few verses here, and starting verse 11, concerning the rock that's talked about in building our foundation upon. Chapter 33, verse 11, it says, I'm reading from a different translation here, so forgive me. It says, the Lord would speak to Moses, face to face as one speaks to a friend. And Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so that I may know you. Listen, believers, we need to know God. God has revealed himself through Jesus Christ as he spoke these words. They continue to find favor with you. Remember this, nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Don't we need God for our rest? He offers it to us. Let us draw near, brothers and sisters. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? That should be our attitude. God should be with us. He should be leading us. What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. What a promise. I am pleased with you, God says, and I know you by name. God knows you by name, brothers and sisters. He knows you as an individual. He knows you by name, and he's pleased with you. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. You ever had that feeling in your heart that you just want to feel the presence of God? That's the drawing nearer I'm talking about. Show me your glory, Moses said. God, I want more of you. Shouldn't that be our prayer? God, draw me close to you. I want to be close. That's my prayer, brothers and sisters. That should be all of our prayers as Christians. That would revolutionize the world. That would revolutionize our life. There's no sin. It's worth more than that. No matter how pleasing it may be to us, let me implore you. Let me beg you. Let us all seek the presence of God. Like Moses, now show me your glory. But here's what the Lord said. Look at the response. I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. Lord, show me your goodness. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face. For no man may see me and live. So here's how the Lord fixed up for Moses to experience his presence. By the way, that speaks of God's holiness. We think, and if you're not listening and you're not a believer, you're not in Christ, there is no way that you can stand on this God's green earth and think that you can be in his presence and still be in your sin and have never come to the cross of Christ for forgiveness, and you're hiding in him. As we're going to see here what Moses did. God says, when my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand. You'll see my back, but my face must not be seen. Listen, brother, listen. Now I'm speaking to those who are not Christians. If there's any listening, unless God hides you in the cleft of the rock, and that rock, as I read, established is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not hiding in him, you will be consumed Understand this. You will be consumed by the glory of God. Wow, Moses, I pray thee, if I have found grace in your sight, show me thy way that I may know thee. That needs to be your prayers. If you find yourself, you feel yourself outside of Christ, he needs to be hidden in the cleft of the rock. So, brothers and sisters, what is your desire? What is, above all else, to know God and that he is with you? Is that your desire? Can there be any greater goal in our lives? Do we hunger and thirst, as Moses did, after righteousness, as Jesus taught in his sermon in chapter 5, what we call the Beatitudes? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ? But the prerequisite, God must hide you in Christ, the rock of his salvation, because someday he'll come to you and his glory is a consuming fire. And that was found in verse 20. If you look in the King James, his glory is a consuming fire. And God says, told Moses, for there shall no man see me and live. You must be hidden in the cleft of the rock. God is saying, Moses, there's a way to see me, but I will provide it. I cannot, Larry, you cannot, Bill, you cannot, Susan, you cannot, Tom, whoever, whatever your name is, whoever you are, you cannot see God and live apart from what God will instruct you to do. And the Lord God said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you. Are you covered by the sins, by the blood of Jesus Christ, my friend? That's the only way that we can enjoy Christ. Now, that has to do with your house being built on, first of all, Jesus Christ. This is the same rock that Jesus himself will build his church upon. You don't have Christ, you don't have a house that will stand. When Jesus asked the question in verse 15 to his disciples, who do you say that I am? In Matthew 16, 15. Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, upon the rock of Peter's testimony, it's his testimony, it's not Peter himself. Context and the original languages prove this, that Jesus is the Christ, and it's the same rock that's found in Matthew 7, Christ himself. The foundation of Jesus' words through the truth of the apostles and the prophets is found in John 16. It is the very word of God as given in the scriptures. This is the building material. Now, brothers and sisters, as I stressed last week, how important is this? How important is the word of God in our life? Let's leave it there. I'll see you next week. Pass the word on, and we'll all rejoice in heaven together.